Lakers down 0-2 to Denver on a really close game that maybe shouldn't have went that way. This is the Profanity Nation podcast. Voice the professional fan. We're here.
Profanity Nation. Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan. As always, I'm joined here by my co-host, Money Mike. I already know how you're feeling, so I'm just going to say hello, and you can say hello.
Hey, my shirt say, the way he plays, he don't deserve a nickname. That's how I feel today. What's going on, man?
All right, cool. Well, that's cool. Okay. Yeah, and you're justified. Stat Pat in the house, always to my left, my man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, all things considered, obviously do not want to go down the way we went down, but yeah, we still got some fight left. I'm not
it's over, dirt dude. On it's a sweep.
Not all throwing right. Dirt on all
right yet. So the regular season's done, guys. That's in the trash. It don't matter what any of the teams did anymore. They have home court, whatever. That's done. Now it's what have you done for me lately.
Yes.
Everything else is gone. It's trash. It just doesn't matter. We've got a bunch of playoff series going, but we're just going to get right into it. We're going to get to the Lakers because that's obviously the top talk. Lakers go into Denver as expected. You know, we knew this was coming when they did the play-in, the 7-2 seed. They go into Denver. We knew it wouldn't be easy. They gave up game one.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and fill us in on how that, just stick to game one for right now, how that game kind of went.
Oh, well, we were in control pretty much. 2.5 quarters of the game, we're in control, and the theme pretty much for the both games were we're good enough to beat them for 2.5 quarters, and it only takes them pretty much a half a quarter or a quarter to erase everything we did in the whole game. One quarter, and everything that we did, all the good equity and everything, and it just tells me sometimes when you look at it, it's like, yeah, it just feel like mentally, the Lakers are not where they need to be to beat Denver. Not that they don't have the personnel. It's just they're not making the right basketball decisions.
Money Mike, they don't have the personnel, I'm going to say. But besides that, we are spoiled, Lakers fans, being that with success, right? We know what it's like to have a team that cruises for a half or three quarters, and they're down 15, but you're never worried that they're going to lose the game. There's just no chance this is going to happen. That's kind of how Denver plays this series. That's how they play. They're like, we're not concerned. No big deal. We'll turn it on when we do. Money. Game one, Lakers go down. Okay, we really hope for that game because that's the one you want to catch them off guard and get in there. Okay, that didn't happen. Let's just advance to game two now. Okay, let's talk game two, Money. You're not happy with what you saw. There's a lot of talk, Stat. We're talking about, you know, calls and – first of all, right into the camera, what the hell is a marginal foul, marginal touch, marginal arm? That just tells me you can just send that shit any way you want.
Yeah, anyway.
You're like, we want to go this, we want to go that. No. It is or it isn't.
Right.
Yeah, calls are not gray.
Right.
They're black or friggin' white. Okay. Money, look, what's going on here?
Look, I can't blame the referees. I hate that LeBron even brought up the call. Like, he's talking like that was the reason why they lost the game. Like, they had a 20-point lead.
That's at the end of the day.
They had a 20-point lead. They played great in the first half. 10 minutes left in the third. They had a 20-point lead. Anthony Davis went 19 minutes without – he had 32 points for the game, went 19 minutes, which means all the fourth quarter and 7 minutes of the third quarter – without scoring a point. The bottom line is this, and we could blame a whole lot of people. We could blame coaching. I'm actually blaming the players on the courts because they've been there. The problem is that they got away from what their game plan was. They knew what was working. They got away from it. Malone made adjustments. I mean, he put you know, KCP on LeBron, you know, Booker on AD, and all of a sudden we weren't able to do things. That doesn't even make any sense. Like, AD, you're the most dominant person. You know, you get five fouls, that shit have nothing to do with your offense. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to go and be aggressive. LeBron has to go and implore that to happen. It's just so ridiculous that we are sitting here at this moment. LeBron's not looking to take over the game. You see that everything is going around. You're not going to the rim like I ask you to do all the time. You shoot a three-point shot with 11 seconds left to the close of the game. This is all on the players. I'm not blaming Darvin Ham for nothing. This is on LeBron and AD for sure. Look, we're going to get swept. Thank you very much, LeBron. You don't deserve nothing. You do not deserve your number retired.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 directly to jail.
No, listen. Look, LeBron, you do not deserve a statue. You don't deserve your number retired. You don't deserve nothing from Lakers at all, period. You are horrible, and I wish you just go away.
Okay.
I'm done.
It's done.
Okay, you're good. Okay.
Dude, you're not going to win nothing. Why are we here?
Okay.
You're taking our salary cap. You're taking our $40 million. You over here trying to get your son over here who can't play, trying to get him drafted. Like, what are you doing? They go, they're going to draft him in the second round. Is he better than Austin Reeves? Can Austin Reeves get drafted? Like, I am renewing my tickets because I know that Bronny James is going to be in the South Bay Laker. That's how horrible he is. And this all business, they ain't got nothing to do with the game. This is horrible. It's ridiculous. We do not know how to play a full game. It's not the coaching. It's LeBron James. He over there pulling his own people that he want to play with. This is ridiculous. He's been in the trenches. His resume, all that stuff, he should never have allowed for that game to win. There's not a Kobe Bryant. There's not a Michael Jordan. There's not, you know, who. There's not a Magic Johnson. There's not a GOAT caliber player that is going to allow you to lose a 20-point game to the point where you lose. We give up leads. I get that. That happens. We ain't going to lose that game, though.
Well,
how are we going to lose that game?
Well, you know, funny, though, you say that. You say that because let's be real here now. We're gonna have a frank conversation right now.
Yeah, cool.
Let's have a frank conversation.
Let's be frank.
If Jokic go ahead and win this championship, gets another MVP, get finals MVP, we're not playing against a person that is just this is a flash in the pan
first round
kind of person. We are playing against an all-time great. And now what you just said about 20-point leads, they got that person that look at those 20-point leads and, like, we still going to come and win the game. That's the difference now. We're playing against one of the best ever now. If we are not going to go ahead and give it up, we are going to have the number. The dude puts up video game numbers when it's not even, like, the fool had a double-double. The fool had 12 points, 10 rebounds after one. Already, he was already working on a 40-40 game. 40-40 game. Like, he was on pace for a 40-40 game. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we're playing against somebody that we have to be on.
So why are we calling LeBron the GOAT? Because LeBron had no accolades to the GOAT.
I never called him
the
GOAT.
I mean, everybody, why is marketing? Why is the world? Why is all these people
we just got to
– I mean, just help me understand.
But basketball has – we have to now have to, like, start putting things in, like, categories, like, generational. Because you're never going to convince these young dudes that LeBron James ain't better.
What generation?
So it's just like,
because I mean,
so there are people that think Kareem is the GOAT.
And they have a great argument.
Can you convince those people that Jordan's the GOAT?
They have a great argument.
You can't convince those people that Jordan's the GOAT, though.
They have a great argument, though.
I hear that.
I agree with that. Look at his numbers. His numbers are very comparable to Jordan.
So you're saying because he has the numbers that you can understand the argument.
Listen,
but you don't understand why it's not a generational argument.
No, what I'm saying is that when you talk about Jordan, he's perfect. 6-0, won championships.
Yeah.
When you talk about Kareem went 9 times, so he's 6-3. You know what I mean? We talk about Kobe, he's 5-4. Like so everybody has a winning record in winning the championship in the rings when it counts. So how can you call somebody with a losing record in opportunities to win a championship.
I'm going to ask you a question, and then we're going to move on and continue the conversation here, Mike. Why does it infuriate you so much that people call him the GOAT? What makes them the say all in your mind that feels you have to fight what they're saying and what they're proclaiming?
Because there's a level of ignorance that comes when you talk
about... That goes across every level of everything. Yeah, politics. Let's not even go
there. Yeah, but I mean, but there's
but
nothing...
Why is it so? It's just like, they call him the GOAT, and I hate it.
The reason why it bothers me is because, GOAT stands for greatest of all time, right? It doesn't mean that you got the, I love the accolades. Great. Most points ever scored. I got that. You know what I mean? One of the reasons why Jordan got so many points was because, the first 7 years, it was nobody that he could pass to. You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron was handed the ball at 18 years old, and there was nobody there. So, of course, he's going to get a whole lot of points.
Yeah.
But that's stat padding. What did he do when it counted?
Stat padding.
What did he do when it counted?
All right, let's talk. Last word on this one. Last word.
I could kind of understand where Mike coming from was his vitriol basically to the idea that LeBron James is the GOAT over Jordan is because, honestly, I sometimes think to myself, why do everybody think that he's so much better than Kobe? Much less better than Jordan, just mm-hmm. because he has statistics. Because when I see somebody that plays the game of basketball on the court, what I see a variety of skills with one player. I see another player that's very limited in his game. So if he's the greatest basketball player of all time with limited skills, that's where I'm like, how can that really be? It doesn't really make sense. He doesn't have the full array of offensive, repertoire.
But the facts come that in reality, there is no official GOAT. There is or one monument that changes now that, you're officially down and everyone, whether you like it or not, he's the GOAT. Everyone has their own GOAT. Really, it's subjective and it just is. So it really doesn't matter. So let's keep we have to
it's
keep
so
this
ridiculous.
Going. It is.
Look, Caitlin Jenner is not the GOAT. Caitlin Clark, I apologize. Caitlin Clark is not the GOAT in NCAA because she didn't win no championships.
Deal.
My measurement, listen, for me, for Money Mike, my measurement of being a GOAT is you have to have one in the most toughest times, period.
Yeah. If
you don't have no winning record when the most prevalent time when it counts, there's no way you could be called the greatest of anything.
She's definitely not the greatest of all time in women's basketball. We've seen people do it.
Let's talk about what happens when you swing through and hit somebody in the face. Let's go back
real quick.
I'm going to separate. I know. We could go the whole show, but the reality
that was
we
are very confused.
I'm going to,
Very confused.
Yeah.
Because this is the marginal. This is the marginal call. Because I've always been taught that literally the follow through on a shot, a block, you can block the shot. You can go for the block. And if you literally miss the guy and you come down and you hit that person, you're subjected to actually flagrant ones.
Flagrant one.
You hit him in the face.
Face, head, contact.
So
you don't have to do it on purpose. It doesn't have to be intent.
And then you can look back at the replay and retroactively give them the flagrant one. Because he still got hit in the face, no matter what you want to say, still got hit in the face. So, all right, so we're gonna say that the call, because at least in the NFL, we have stands and we have confirmed. We all know, you watch enough football to know, when they say confirmed, there is evidence on the field, on the video, that we can say, nah, you're going to overturn that. Confirmed. If it says stands, whatever they called on the field,
they don't have evidence.
They don't have a turn, overturn it, and they're on keep it on the field. That guy, literally, Scott Foster, did not see anything in that play that suggested that he did not foul him.
How? He fouled him.
So that is what I, and I don't know why we, this is not talked about enough, because that was a big point in the game where momentum was being swung, and now our team is now worried about the officials.
They're deflated.
We're now deflated. We're worried about the officials. We're not getting our calls. They were not mentally tough because they really crumbled after that moment. They really did not bounce back from that. Only the two threes by LeBron. They stopped doing what they needed to do.
Yeah, and things like that, they're not a single play or a single decision that gets you. It's just they you feel like they keep missing calls and they're calling shit on the other side that doesn't seem equitable. And then that happens. And that's when it all starts to pile up, and then that, and you're just deflated. You're like, what are we even, you know, what are we doing?
We're not gonna win this game.
Yeah, they're stopping it. And you know, it just, what the hell is marginal? What the hell is marginal? Good. I've never heard, I've never heard a ref come back from a replay and say, it's marginal. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
That's enough.
So they said it was marginal and they also overturned it, which is really great.
Right.
You know, but let me just say this. I hate instant replay in every sport. I actually, my opinion, they actually need to take it out. Because I like the human element. I mean, obviously, they're in the human element. They're going to miss calls and stuff. But look, at the end of the day, if I make a call, right, I go and I make a call and I say, yeah, you fouled him. Now I got to go back and look and correct myself. Like, how long, I mean,
yeah,
I understand there's a business part of it. I ain't supposed to have no feelings. But so I'm supposed to say, literally, basically, my bad, I missed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not what it is. Look, that's one of the reasons why I hate instant replay. You know, because, you know, if we kept the human element in the game, then we wouldn't have to worry about that. Because now, it's like what you're saying. Is that marginal? Did he hit him hard enough? Did it affect the shot? All these particular things. And all that stuff shouldn't even really come into play, personally.
D'Lo was so confident coming off the court.
He was.
He's like, what you doing?
We're good.
And probably a flagrant one because he caught me in the face.
Yeah.
And then they take it all. Not only do they reverse it.
Yeah.
Look, we're Lakers fans. We're not going to sit here and say that was the game. But those things pile up. They do make a difference.
But you
the
cannot...
game was LeBron choosing to take a three with 11 seconds on, not driving to the basket when it was wide open. However, we'll get there. However, these things pile up, and it's just, let's forgive my language. Why are they fucking around?
Right.
So here's the thing.
Right. No.
Just that's what you want to say. What are you doing? Why is it so friggin' obvious?
It doesn't make any sense.
It's just like a WWE ref actually handing the chair to the wrestler to say, oh, here you go, hit him. Oh, dude, oh, you hit him. What are you doing?
The thing that, listen, I watched that whole game. I was yelling. I literally begged. I said, LeBron, don't shoot that. I said, LeBron, don't shoot that.
Didn't have to.
LeBron, please don't shoot that. And I saw he was wide open. And I was like, LeBron,
because homeboy stumbled over his feet.
Right.
And it was, he wanted to be,
LeBron, don't shoot it.
And then his Jordan moment.
I really feel that in his mind, he wanted the story to be
nail in the coffin.
And having to be the highlight. And that's just really what was on his mind. But let me just say this. What I hated, you know what I hated way more than the game? The press conference.
All right, let's get
to
it.
I mean, dog.
Okay, AD, so we're talking, hang on. So we're talking now reaction to the loss, to the game, to the way they played, to the everything, the ref, everything. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
So look, AD, they're asking AD, like, what happened in the last play? And, you know, and he said, you know, Jamal Murray made a shot and put his mic down and he walked away. Now, here's my question. My first question is, I don't care about what happened with the game. My question is, how did you go all fourth quarter and then ask for the ball? How did you score 0 points? How did you go over half of the third quarter and not score the ball? How did you get away from your game plan and did that put you in a situation where Jamal Murray was able to make game shot? These are the questions I want to know, right? And so let's talk about that. Don't be upset about what happened at the end, because we lost that game 5 minutes into the third quarter. No. It was already going down. You know, what happened at the end, it does not matter. Because AD, if you actually would have gotten 50 points, which you was on path for, he got 32, but you didn't score nothing for 19 minutes. AD, a lot of this is on you. You can't. What are you doing, dog? I understand you got 5 fouls, so you can't play defense. I get that. What's up with your offense? Why are you not asking for the ball?
Had 4 fouls anyways, and then got to, you know.
But why are you not asking for the ball?
That's another.
Why are you not making them work on defense?
Yeah, that's the big.
Why are you not going in the hole?
That's the big.
And then you want to blame.
You can't defer. You know? You can't defer to LeBron James like that, and because one thing that made Shaq and Kobe the best duo of all time is that they both had a single focus. Yeah, they hated each other, or they didn't like playing with each other sometimes. But at the same time, you know what? Who they hated more? You.
No, right. But not only that, they wanted to be the best player on the court.
Right.
And they were competing against each other, and that's why they were killing everybody else. Because they had that inner, like, oh, you think you're, no. Oh, that was a nice dunk. Watch mine.
Right.
You know, and there that was going on, and that's healthy competition within a team.
Yes. But as you can see, what AD does not have the I guess
it's my team too.
He doesn't want to own that. He doesn't want to go ahead and wrestle the Wayne. He doesn't want to get in a tugging match with LeBron James. He doesn't want to tell LeBron James what everyone knows, that basically we go as far as AD goes. If AD is humming along like he was, we don't go on a 6-minute drought. That's what I see. That's another thing. There's 3 people that could get blamed. LeBron, situational awareness. Like I said, you shoot the ball with 11 seconds left to go in the shot clock with 16 seconds to go in the game. That's on you, bro. That's on you. You could talk about, we were talking about the referees all we want. At the same time, you had the ball. You had the ball with 26 seconds to go in the game. You had the ball. It's in your hands. Whatever goes on after that, your possession, that's your shot. That's you could do it. You had to stop somebody. You could dictate how this game is going to go. Either you're making a shot or you're missing a shot. You missed the shot. They came and made their shot. You have first dibs at that. So you can't blame anybody else other than yourself. Number 2, Darvin Ham, sorry, bro. Look, man, you're up by 10 points. AD is on the bench starting fourth quarter. Sorry. You got to have AD in that game right then so you can take advantage.
He didn't score anyway.
Well, he was going to – but see, the thing is a concerted effort. What we're saying is if you put AD in the game
– keep him involved.
And you have LeBron sitting down on the bench in the first 4 minutes, LeBron – we know everyone on the court knows that the ball is going to go through AD for scoring. They're not going to ignore AD when he's on the court. They will ignore AD when LeBron's on the court with AD, which did happen. But if LeBron James on the bench – and Joker is on a bench, and you have AD, this is our time to strike. Mm-hmm. You got to put your foot on that. That is a managerial, that's a coaching decision. Sorry. I mean, it's just that's what that is. And I'm saying you got blame to go around 3 people should be looking. Because we're not going to blame D'Lo. Because D'Lo showed exactly what a bounce-back game looked like. That was a bounce-back game. And if we really want to go ahead and start nitpicking, hey, Rui, where you been at, bro? Where you been at, Rui? Where's Rui? Hello?
Yeah.
Where's Rui at? Rui has not had a great first two games.
He hasn't made an impression at all. He's kind of disappeared, been quiet.
At all. Not the same Rui of last year. Okay? Like Mike was saying, we got to put this on also the players mainly because these guys haven't been stepping up, and they talked a lot of stuff beginning of the season to get this matchup, and now they got it.
Money Mike, do they stand a chance in Game 3 at home in Los Angeles?
Hey, we're getting swept. I'm just letting y'all know right now.
So are we getting swept because of the emotional impact of losing that last game? Are we getting swept just because we're outclassed, or why are we getting swept?
I'm going to say Denver has our number.
Okay, that's right.
And you know, it's one thing when the team we've seen it like historically, like with the Lakers. Like with Portland, for example, in regular season, it didn't matter who was
winning.
Couldn't
beat them in regular season.
We could not beat them in regular season. You know, Sacramento, we all had those battles. We could not beat them in regular season. But then when it came to the playoffs, we went and figured out a way to win. We do not have the team that's able to figure out the way to win, and the Nuggets have their number. So we're getting swept. I mean, is it going to be competitive? Yes. Are we going to have opportunity to win? Yes. But we're at the end of the day, we're not going to simply because – No, the coaching on that side is better. They have better players, more consistent. Mm-hmm. And look, for some reason, the Lakers have decided that they do not want to play what their game plan is. We have seen the Lakers during the tournament play a full game for a fourth
and
quarter.
Lockdown defense.
We saw them when it was up to if we were going to play the seventh seed or eighth seed. The way we played the Pelicans that game, going to get a seventh or eighth seed, that's the best basketball we could have played. We played the Pelicans again. We did not play that same level of basketball. We played it game two. The way we played that first half, game two, is exactly how we could beat any team the way that we play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that goes with AD.
Well, right.
That goes with AD's first half, which he's done before. Yeah.
There is no answer for that. But what I'm recognizing and seeing, for some reason, even though we know what the game plan is, even though we know what works, even though we know what affects them, and we can take over the game, and the movement, the pitch we have to run, the play we have to run, we just get away from it. Mm-hmm. Can we blame coaching? Well, the coaching, listen.
It all has a piece of it.
Look, for me.
Because he's not holding LeBron accountable, so there's a piece of that.
Look, I look at it like this, right? I got, on a personal level, I got my daughter. She out there training with a track coach, right? Track coach go tell her, yo, I see her. I see the training. And I want you to go. When that gun go off, she got to run. He has her in practice running 30 meters down the track before she put her hand up. Every time. Practice, 30 meters down the track. When she was racing on Saturday, she went 10 meters. She knew she was about to go 30. She went 10. Now, is that the coach's fault or is that her fault? Because my whole thing is that's her fault. Because she knew to go 30 meters, mm-hmm. She didn't do it. Right? So now if I go and implement a game plan, you know what I mean, and say this is what the game plan is going to be, and if we go and we implement the game plan in the first half, and it's working, right, and we get away from that game plan, I'm just asking, do we blame the coach that the Lakers got away from the game plan, or do we blame the players?
Yeah, because I bench those players that are we bench
LeBron and we bench AD?
Yeah. Because you make a statement. Yeah, you do, and you put out the bench that you just do. Okay.
In a playoff game?
Again, we got to keep it going. Okay, Step Hat, I have a question for you. Okay, Lakers come home for two games. Okay, they're down 0-2. Does it matter if they win game three, Lakers?
Oh, yeah.
No. If the Lakers win game three but lose game four, did game three matter, except for avoiding a sweep? They've got to go back to Denver. Do they stand any chance of winning game five in Denver after that emotional loss after game
two? Well, you mean like and essentially win the next three?
Well, essentially what I'm saying is that that if they win game three at home, are you as the fan, as the educated fan, going, yes, they've turned it around? Or are you going, dude, if they don't win game four, it still doesn't matter?
If
they have to win two.
They have to win two.
Yeah. So this isn't a win-one. You have to win two.
The series does not start, as they say, until the home team loses or the road team wins. Yes. That's when the series start to get interesting. Mm-hmm. Other than that, what they really did, they hold serve. So if the Lakers can go ahead and hold serve at their house, let's just try it again in game five. But we don't know unless we win game three. Mm-hmm. And once game three happens, if we win that game, then it's going to shift. That pressure for them is going to shift a little bit, because even though they're playing, people think they're going to play a house money, they still got to win that game. Denver doesn't want to go back to game five 2-2.
Yeah.
They don't want to, because anything could happen.
Yeah.
Anything could happen.
Now you're going to seven.
Now what if they don't come back? What if we don't go on a six-minute drought and we still are beating them by 20?
Or an ankle just for a quarter.
What happens?
Game. Who knows?
And then we lose game five and they come back to game six and we go, bam, take them out. We got to win game three. Everything's moot if you don't win game three.
So if you win three, there's still the same pressure on game four that was on three. It doesn't change.
Okay, so I have a question and blame me for this question.
Deal.
Can we talk about LeBron's legacy if he gets swept? Sure. Like, does his legacy change?
Getting swept twice?
If we get swept twice, as a Laker, can we talk about his legacy? I mean, because see, here's the reason why I'm asking that in that conversation when you asked that when you asked, like, if we win game three, say we win game, say it's 2-2. Say we win game five. Say we win game three and four. And then now it's anybody's series than what you're saying. And there now, absolutely, everybody's going to elevate whatever LeBron's legacy is now if that happens. So if we're going to elevate his legacy, if he was able to pull that out, are we going to be able to understand that we have to pull back a little bit of a legacy if we don't pull it out?
Only if you can blame it directly on him.
He's on the team, and he's a representative of the
Lakers. So then you can also blame it on Gabe Vincent, right?
No.
He's on the team.
Because he's not he's the face of the team.
Okay, but LeBron, this isn't golf.
He's the face of the team.
It's not tennis. It's not
golf. He is the face of the team.
Not ping pong. Doesn't matter.
If he get credit for the win,
it's not going to look good. It's not going to look good.
But do we pull back his legacy?
No, you can't hurt his legacy at all. He can't. Unless he does something morally wrong, you can't hurt his legacy.
So how do we elevate his legacy then?
Dude, there's so many superstars.
Mike,
the world, hang on. The world historically is littered with past their prime athletes that have gone, boxers who go too far. And you look and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, the whatever it might be, the world is full of them. But does it affect their legacy? They always say, oh, you know, you went this and then you end. Nah, man, history tells you, history remembers the good. History remembers the prime, the good. And what history is going to do is take the prime LeBron and put him against the prime Kobe and the prime Jordan and judge that. That's what's going to happen, right, guys? At least I think. That's what history says. The world's littered with past their prime.
So we're just going in. Okay, so what are you doing
Favre,
now?
For Christ's
listen,
sake.
Listen, to your point, everybody knows that Michael Jordan was a wizard, you know, but nobody talks about him being
that's my point, yes.
Right, so we're just going to ignore everything that he didn't do as a Laker.
Well, what I think you would have a value. Yeah, what I think you would have a value.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah, but don't give him the jersey. Don't do that. Right. Yeah, I would agree. Fine. If we're going to celebrate his Miami Cleveland more than great.
Yeah.
Stay there. Just like we're not celebrating Karl Malone on the Lakers. We're celebrating Karl Malone on Utah. That's just the way. So I would agree with you there. I would.
I mean, I'm just saying. All right, guys.
Let's go through a couple more of these series. Clippers did well. Clippers came out at home, beat Dallas without Kawhi Leonard. Any thoughts?
I mean, that's scary.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
Yeah. Dallas can't like that.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see you later on.
They beat them well too.
Yeah. They dropped them. Yeah. It was I think one time the score was 41-70. I remember watching like almost 30 points. If it was, I probably went to 30 points. But it was they really just Luka and Kyrie and everybody else basically were not ready for the lights.
Nope.
Obviously they were not ready.
Yeah they were. Still.
And you know, just like I said last week, when it comes to the Clippers gotta like play this role where they're waiting in the wings. There's no pressure on them anymore like they had before, being the darlings of the league, the sexy pick to win the championship. Now they don't even have to worry about that. Now they're pretty much just like, okay, well, if you're the fourth seed, then if you guys win, it's like, okay, well, you're Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they like being that underdog, so because Denver is taking all the accolades. Remember, before Denver, they were the sexy pick to win the championship, like, all the time. Before Denver made it.
Every time it was the Clippers, and then it ended up being Golden State or someone else. But it was never the Clippers. But yes. All right, well, they played game two, technically, as you're watching this last night, as we're recording it right now. So that game is really close, roughly at the half as we're recording, and they're playing. Dallas is playing a little bit better, so we'll see what happens. Anyone else? Any other games? Mike, you were showing us some Knicks 76ers there again. Kind of lends its hand back to what the hell is going on with this officiating. Mike, go ahead and fill us in.
You know what's crazy about that? Like the last few minutes of the game, it kind of was like really back and forth, and then right like the last 50 seconds, You have the 76ers were up by five, and then all of a sudden, no whistles weren't getting blown. A lot of scrappiness, and they were able to pull it off. And you know what's really interesting, because he what my concern is, and when you sit around and think about it, there was a big story that happened, and I'll bring this up. There was a big story that happened right before the playoffs about Porter from Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
They got banned for life, right, for gambling.
Yeah.
Right. And I always thought that was an interesting story because, you know, I think it's actually just happening more than what we think it is. We see, like, the referees doing things like that. Obviously, listen, I don't want to say that anything is fits, but when you see stuff like that, you know, and things sway such aggressively, it kind of makes you wonder in the back of your mind, you know, about the things that kind of happen.
It definitely opens the door to...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
point shavings and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And you have this guy, and obviously he becomes a sacrificial lamb, you know, for all this. But look, his brother, Porter Jr., he right there, he's with the Nuggets. Hey, Porter, you didn't, you know, like, you weren't doing this at all? Like, I'm just
that
wondering.
That ain't fair. That ain't fair.
I'm just wondering the question.
Do you have siblings?
I do.
You're gonna say. Yeah. And I need a full report.
I'm just saying.
We need to make sure that he is being he's being properly investigated. We need to go ahead and take him off the team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just for game three and four, maybe.
And just let him be off the team for about two weeks while we go through this.
I'm just saying.
Because that's the only reason why we're going to throw some dirt on him.
We get paid. We're not trying to take his money away.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Paid lead.
We got to look a little bit more deeper. It was real quick and swift.
I think they were looking deep.
With all that being said, though, like, it's very interesting about the things going on. So in the back of my mind, like, you obviously don't want any of that stuff to happen, but listen, those last 47 seconds, you know, they were really getting, you know, he was getting mugged and things kind of were, but they still had to make the shots, though. That's the thing about basketball.
Yeah.
You still got to make
shots.
Still
make baskets,
but
you still make,
it kind of makes you wonder when you see swings like and things like that, like, hey, is this real bad? Is this really just happened, or is there something behind that? Was there a call that's made? And I'm just going to leave it like that. Remember, I hope the guys is not, because
that would ruin it all.
It 100% would ruin it all.
It would be WWE.
Anything else? Anyone else watching any series in the West here, guys? Ant-Man's doing great.
Yes.
He is just the man.
He is definitely here.
My son's favorite player. So, you know, he's here to stay. It's nice.
You know, I love that. Did you see that? Because Ant's favorite player was Kevin Durant. You know, and I love – look, first of all – I honestly, and maybe this may be a stretch, Pat, you may kill me for this. I really think Anthony Edwards is probably, he's not yet, but to me, he's the closest in to Kobe.
No, you're not.
I mean, because it's something, they were
calling him Baby Jordan for a minute. I mean, he literally has that it factor.
It's something different. It's something different about him, though.
He's not shying away from the moment.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and he enjoys, you know, coming for that moment, like, you know, like it's something like he's having fun, and he does it so effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, man, like he is just a joy to watch, man.
Just a phenomenal, like, basketball player. I mean, he is now, we're talking about that it factor. He's positioning himself
as the next.
Yes, I mean, he's funny. If you hear some of his interviews, he's got personality. He's entertaining, and
too bad he's in Minnesota.
Yeah, I just don't know how they're going to hold him.
They're not going to hold him.
I don't think they're going to hold him. I mean, they got to do what they got to do now and win something,
exactly.
because he's second contract, and he'll be a Nick.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be
exactly.
like a Nick or something like that, and then it'd be like, yeah.
It's over.
Let's maximize that.
Yeah.
Why don't anybody want to go to be the Knicks, man? Be a Nick.
Yeah.
Dude, imagine how much money you'll make in endorsements.
Hey, Pat, you know, every episode here on the Profanity Nation podcast, we end with a segment that we call Money Mike's Out of Bounds.
Yep.
What that means is Money Mike is going to share his thoughts or opinions on a topic, and it's really easy. He just wants to know, are those thoughts or opinions in bounds or out of bounds? You can let us know right here in the comments. So, Money Mike, you got the mic.
You know, I have two, but I'm going to stick with this one. I think it's really, really interesting. We've been talking about the NBA, so I'm not even going to get on the WNBA, which was where my other out of bounds is. But I'm going to read to you guys the roster of the Olympic roster, mm-hmm. right? And so we have Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, right? Now, Kyrie was left off this team. And I think that I'm easily swapping out Bam Adebayo for Kyrie Irving. I mean, and they interview Kyrie and he said, hey, that's what they pick and whatever. Am I out of bounds to say I think Kyrie should be on this team?
Well, no, you're not out of bounds. But is it Halliburton on this team?
Oh, yeah, Halliburton is too, yeah.
So that's the person.
Okay.
Bam stays. I'll keep Bam. Well, I'm talking about position for position. Halliburton should not be there over him at all. But let's be honest here. We got, you know, Kyrie. Are they going to be able to control Kyrie? Let's be honest. I hate to be like that. Hate to put it out there like that. Are they going to be able to control Kyrie?
I apologize.
In the Olympics.
Let me add Halliburton, Jrue Holiday, Kawhi and Jason Tatum. Those are the ones.
Okay.
So,
you got two people. I like me some Jrue Holiday, but over Kyrie.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that. Do we need defense that bad? No, we don't. Like, no, we don't need. We don't need a lockdown defense. Like, for the plus minus.
Yeah.
With Kyrie over Jrue Holiday is what are you talking about? Halliburton?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? It's because something else, and I hate to be like this, but you can't talk about USA basketball without politics.
It's always politics.
With USA basketball.
This is a Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas situation.
I'm telling you what it is, dude.
You're not saying LeBron's making this decision.
No. This is USA basketball.
This is just they don't need the.
We don't
the
need this distraction.
We've got. We can make up that those.
That's
points
my. And that that's balance. My. Not opinion on why they should do it. It's just what I think they're doing because it just feels like they don't want the distraction.
Money Mike, is anyone else on that list a distraction similar to Kyrie that actually made it on the team?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I guarantee Kawhi Leonard going to get hurt and not play half the games.
Yeah, but that's why they need credit for asking them. They're like, hey, we brought one of the best players. They
to
know
me, that's going to be a distraction because yeah. I think Kyrie's going to be up in the stands of the box watching his team play and be there getting to go well because the dude is not even playing right now in the playoffs.
Another distraction is the dude for Cameroon.
Yeah.
How are we just going to just switch countries in the whole middle? Dude, your first language is French.
You talk about
who, you're French? No. Yes.
Yeah. Why I was like, wait a minute. Like, he's USA?
Like, why wouldn't you even want to be playing? Like, I would be like, oh, shoot, fine. Now I'm going to play for France because guess who I'm playing with? Yeah. It's me and Wimby. We're going to make it fun. We might not win the gold, but we're going to make it fun. This dude is out there, stat pad.
Going for a gold medal.
You know, going for a gold medal, man. Bro, come on, dog. Don't do that.
So he's inbounds?
Oh, he's definitely inbounds. Right. Hell yeah, he's inbounds.
Funny, Mike. All right. Excellent, excellent. Let us know what you think. Inbounds, out of bounds, you know, in the comments. Be sure to follow, like, and subscribe. Be sure to watch all the shows here on InfinityTV.com. You know where to find them. Also, we come out every Wednesday morning. Lakers Talk right here on the Profanity Nation podcast. The Money Mike, Stat Pat. I'm Simsta. We out.
Peace.
Peace.